Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael is off today. I will be filling in for him. Michael, my dear friend, I just want to thank you once again for the incredible honor and opportunity to be guest hosting for you. Michael, it is just such an incredible treat for me to do this show. And I got to tell you, Michael, you're an independent conservative. You're a man after my own heart. And you're the only one that is talking about borders, language, and culture. And for that, I thank you, and America thanks you. My friends, for those of you that don't know me, I am a columnist at the Washington Times. I have filled in for Michael in the past. I urge all of you to go to michaelsavage.com for some absolute must-read stories. And no question about it, the story of the day, just go to michaelsavage.com. Obama calls for another $50 billion in spending. He is now calling for a second stimulus package. Today, on Labor Day, when we, the American people, are rightfully taking time off from our very busy schedules to celebrate the American worker, the American laborer, the dear leader, our comrade in chief, our con man in chief, Barack Hussein Obama, is off doing what he does best. When he's not vacationing, he's off campaigning. And today he was at a fundraiser at a rally in Milwaukee where he was telling the people of Milwaukee what a success his administration has been. And he is now telling the people of Milwaukee that all he needs is for the American people to give the Democrats one more chance come November. You may not know it, but according to the dear leader, he has been one of the most effective voices and leaders of our time. That he is the one who rescued our economy from the Bush years. He is the one, through his stimulus package, that has saved the economy from the apocalypse and from ruin. And so today, in front of everybody in Milwaukee, with the crowds cheering, the union members cheering him on, the flag in the backdrop, the dear leader was bragging that it was his administration that saved us from an economic depression. It was his administration that passed Obamacare. It was his administration that reformed Wall Street. It was his administration that took over the student loan industry. My friends, he is like a mad Roman emperor who is so drunk with power, he is so disconnected from reality, he actually thinks this is selling. He really thinks that this man has been an incredible achievement. And like the old Soviet Union, like the old socialist dictatorships of the past, they are so disconnected from reality, they're so believing their own Kool-Aid and their own propaganda that they honestly think they can do no wrong. That the only thing they need to do is to spin you, the American people, to lie to you, to manipulate you, to force feed you with bogus facts and statistics. And so now, the dear leader, worried about his election prospects in November, worried that the Democrats are going to get the political beating and shellacking of a lifetime, in panic behind the scenes. Now he is trying to spin a second stimulus package. What is this second stimulus package, many of you may ask? Jeff, what is this miracle stimulus package. The first one, nearly $1 trillion, didn't work. That one obviously failed. Under his watch, since it was passed, unemployment didn't go down. It went up. It's now at 9.6%. The deficits have soared. The debt has gone up. The housing market has collapsed. The dollar has collapsed. Everything has collapsed with this guy's economic agenda. And yet, no. $1 trillion didn't do it. We just need $50 billion more. So here is the dear leader saying we're going to spend more money on roads, on highways, on airport runways, on railways. And my friends, members of the Savage Nation, here's the kicker. You want to see what a Marxist he is? You want to see how he can never let an opportunity go to waste? Even with the failure of his stimulus package, what does the dear leader propose? An infrastructure bank, a permanent government-run bank that is going to fund infrastructure projects forever, ad infinitum, as far as the eye can see. Embedded in this proposal is not just $50 billion. No, it's a nationalized bank so we can have public works projects forever. He is determined to implement a Marxist socialist revolution no matter what the cost. Here is the dear leader in Milwaukee saying, you know what? Just give me $50 billion more and I'll solve all your problems. Boys, roll clip 17.
I am announcing a new plan for rebuilding and modernizing America's roads and rails and runways for the long term. I want America to have the best infrastructure in the world. We used to have the best infrastructure in the world. We can have it again. Over the next 6 years, we are going to rebuild 150,000 miles of our roads. Yep. That's enough to circle the world six times. That's a lot of road.
Oh, yeah. To the moon.
We're going to lay and maintain 4,000 miles of our railways, enough to stretch coast to coast. We're going to restore 150 miles of runways, and we're going to advance a next-generation air traffic control system to reduce travel time and delays for American travelers. I think everybody can agree on that. Anybody want more delays at airports? No, I didn't think so. I mean, I've got Air Force One now. It's nice. But I still remember what it was like.
Yep. So now he's going to make sure you don't get delayed at the airports. Dear leader, we're not asking for very much, really. Maybe you can pedal on your bicycle and do your tour and your little bicycle there with your helmet. Do a little tour of the country and raise some money. I don't know what you want to do anymore, dear leader. All I can tell you is this. Why don't you try, balancing the budget. Try that. Why don't you try, securing our border. Why don't you try, winning the war in Afghanistan? Why don't we do the little basics, dear leader? Okay, it's like a bicycle bike, okay? We're going to get you off the kiddie wheels. We're going to try to see if you can pedal on your own, dear leader, okay? Forget about ending the waiting lines at the airport. Forget about putting in so many highways, so many roads, we can do the world six times over. That's okay, dear leader. We don't need to reach for the stars. We just need to reach for the planet Earth, dear leader. So here he is, going on a campaign-style rally, promising us the moon, more hope and change. Now, my question for Obama is a simple one. What happened to the $1 trillion we spent? What happened to that money we forked over? We were supposed to have roads. We were supposed to have bridges. We were supposed to have highways. We were supposed to have all those infrastructure projects. What happened to those jobs? What happened to those roads? I'll tell you what happened. That money got wasted. That money got squandered. This is the great tragedy of the Obama administration. We have put ourselves in such a massive debt, such massive deficits, that it's going to take generations to dig out of it. And what did we get for it? All of that money, all of that stimulus, all of that borrowing, all of that spending, nothing. The definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result. This man is insane. Now he wants us to spend another $50 billion? Another second stimulus when the first trillion didn't work? And this is what is most bizarre. I believe that Obama is a clinical narcissist. I truly believe that. I think he honestly believes that the whole world revolves around him, that nobody else matters but him, and nobody has ever said no to him. No one. And now, faced with the prospect of massive electoral defeat, faced with a potential political tidal wave that is going to sweep him and his gangster regime right out of power come November, he doesn't know what to do. And so, like a caged animal, look at this comment. This is the most bizarre comment. Remember, when a president delivers a Labor Day speech, you read from a prepared text. But on this comment, he went on his own. On this one, he was speaking extemporaneously. And he said, you know, the Republicans, they're treating me like a dog. Like a dog, literally. That's what he said. They're so critical that they're treating me like a dog. Boys, roll clip 10.
Building our economy on a new foundation so that our middle class doesn't just survive this crisis. I want it to thrive. Mm-hmm. I want it to be stronger than it was before. Mm-hmm. And over the last 2 years, that's meant taking on some powerful interests. Some powerful interests who have been dominating the agenda in Washington for a very long time, and they're not always happy with me. They talk about me like a dog. That's not in my prepared remarks. It's just, but it's true.
Like a dog. Really? They treat you like a dog. What do you make of that comment? Is he trying to whip up more racial hysteria? Is he trying to present himself as a victim? Or does this man, can he not handle defeat? Suddenly, if you tell him no, the narcissist that he is, he can't handle being told no. Suddenly, you're putting a leash on him. Suddenly, you're treating him like a dog. So the question before the House is, what do you make of Obama's speech today in Milwaukee? And why do you think he said that he's being treated like a dog? 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Michael in New York. Michael, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I totally, absolutely, positively agree with you. The definition of a crazy, lunatic, mentally deranged person is someone who keeps repeating the same mistake over and over and over again. So now let me tell you a little story. They did an interview in China with the head of the Chinese military, the grand big shot leader, the head of the Army, Navy, and Air Force. And they asked him, what do you think relations are with America? And his answer was, not now, but one day we will have to go to war with America. And when we do, we will have to commit a genocide after we win the war because the Americans will never go along with our form of government. Also, unfeeded to America because they, like the Americans, will never agree to our form of government. So,
okay, Michael, whoa, Mike, I know they give 3-day furloughs. I hope they lock you back up. Now, as for your larger point, yes, the Chinese, you are right. The stop clock is right twice a day. Yes, the Chinese are sharpening the knife as we speak. This is, to me, you want to talk about the greatest long-term damage that Obama has done to this country. It is that he has empowered China and he has deliberately weakened America. His deficits, his debt have so crippled the long-term economic future of this country, It is the Chinese who are now buying and owning our debt. Under Obama's watch, it began under Clinton. It accelerated under Bush, but it has now hit full throttle under the dear leader. Under Obama's watch, we are becoming an economic colony of China. There is no getting around it. When you have these kinds of trillion-dollar deficits, as far as the eye can see, we are now being owned by the Chinese, by the Saudis, by the Japanese. We are now becoming a subsidiary of the world socialist economy. And so what you're now seeing in this country is the betrayal of the American working class, the betrayal of the manufacturing class in this country, and really the death of America as a great industrial superpower. And this I blame on both the Republicans and the Democrats, because in the end, when everything is said and done, notice how the dear leader never talks about repealing NAFTA. You notice that? He never talks about slapping a tariff on a Chinese good, because the Chinese want our markets open. The third world wants our markets open. So our workers have to compete against $2 an hour labor. They can't do it. Jobs are being shipped overseas. Massive unlimited immigration is coming in. And our bonds, our very treasury securities, our debt is being bought up by our enemies. If that's not a path to economic suicide, my friends, I don't know what is. And so instead of putting an America first trade policy, an America first immigration policy in Washington, D.C., where I'm broadcasting from, it's an open secret. The Chinese lobby, the Saudi lobby, the Mexican lobby, they are colonizing America. My friends, on this Labor Day, the last thing these politicians in Washington care about is the American worker. And that starts with Barack Obama himself. This is Jeff Kuhner, sitting for Michael Savage. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Go to michaelsavage.com. You can read some absolute sizzling cutting-edge stories. Obama is proposing another second stimulus, a $50 billion stimulus, but not in his prepared remarks. Just off the cuff, the commander-in-chief, the leader of the free world. Remember, this is a man who is the president of the United States, who has the veto. Even if he loses both houses of Congress, he's still the president of the United States, the most powerful man on earth, says that Republicans are talking about him like a dog. Boys, roll the clip one more
building
time.
Our economy on a new foundation so that our middle class doesn't just survive this crisis. I want it to thrive. I want it to be stronger than it was before. And over the last 2 years, that's meant taking on some powerful interests. Some powerful interests who had been dominating the agenda in Washington for a very long time, and they're not always happy with me. They talk about me like a dog. That's not in my prepared remarks. It's just, but it's true.
What was he thinking? I mean, how can the president of the United States be a victim? He's trying to paint himself like some victim and a dog? First of all, who's talking about him like a dog? That's one. Two, have you noticed? It's almost like I think he's playing on a racial undercurrent. That's my reading of this. Sort of like wink, wink. Hey, I'm the first African-American president. I'm the first black president. Look, they're criticizing me. They're about to wipe my party out come November. Everybody's opposing my agenda. My polls are falling. Hey, they're treating me like a dog. They're putting me on a leash. Why do you think he said it? And what do you think he was trying to signal to his supporters? 255. Let's go to Jerry in Wisconsin. Jerry, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, I was actually at the speech, and I think it was a great speech. It was arousing. He really energized the people. And in terms of people treating him like a dog, I look at the people I look at people saying he's got to be a secret Muslim born in Kenya. He's not a United States citizen. He's exactly right. There's a movement afoot to treat him like a dog, to attack him, to make sure he's not considered legitimate. There are people who despise him, not necessarily because he's Barack Obama, because he's a Democrat, and they cannot stand a Democrat in the White House. A Democrat in the White House cannot be stood, it cannot be considered legitimate, and he must be opposed. That is the nature of the far right wing. And that's, unfortunately, that's the view it takes of any Democratic president.
Jerry, hold on. You said a lot of points there. First of all, let me ask you this. How is he being treated like a dog? I mean, this to me, what? You can't. Jerry, let me ask you this. Are we no longer able to criticize him? Is this what you're trying to tell us? That if you criticize him, suddenly now you're treating this guy like some junkyard dog? Is that what you're trying to tell us? Or do we not live in a free republic? Do we not have an opposition? Can we not criticize him? Is that what you're telling us?
Can I respond? Of course you can criticize him.
So what's the problem? Why use that term? Let me ask. When the left was calling George Bush a war criminal, when the left was saying that Bush was murdering innocent people in Iraq, tell me, that was fair game, wasn't it, Jerry? Then suddenly that was fair game, wasn't it, Jerry? Hey, patriotism is the highest form of dissent. Sorry, dissent is the highest form of patriotism. You remember that, Jerry? Now, as for everything else that you said, I don't know what planet you're living on, but when you have 9.6% unemployment, and in fact, if you look at the underemployment, part-time employment, people who've given up looking for work, we're near 20% unemployment. Now, this has gotten worse under his leadership. So I ask you, What's the purpose of this, except, Jerry, for one thing? That $50 billion second stimulus, that's a massive ad campaign for the Democrats come November. That's a way to buy votes. That's a way to give money to the unions, to give money to the construction workers, and then to have signs put up everywhere paid for by the second stimulus. That's all this is one massive vote-buying campaign. Jerry, if $1 trillion didn't work, how is $50 billion going to work? Tell me, in the democratic world that you live in that liberal world that you live in, how does $50 billion work better than $1 trillion, Jerry?
Wait, I can respond now.
Jerry, I mean, I'm asking you, how can $50 billion work when $1 trillion didn't work, Jerry?
Number of wrong points. One, I didn't agree with the most strongest statements against Obama or against Bush. But your side is not treating him the least bit legitimate. You don't consider him a legitimate president. You despise him. And let's be honest, you
because
don't
he's
like
a
him.
Socialist dictator, Jerry. Can't you see that? Tell me, doesn't it bother you that he rammed Obamacare down our throats? Doesn't it bother you that he openly bribed members of the Senate and members of Congress? Doesn't it bother you that he sues his own government in Arizona and not protect our border? Doesn't that bother you, Jerry? As an American, doesn't that bother you? Tell me, why is it? Let me give you an example, Jerry. Tell me, why is it he will fight for the rights of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11, a man who killed 3,000 Americans? Oh, then this man has to have his day in court. But let me ask you this, when it comes to defending Sheriff Arpaio, who's trying to defend our border, they're suing him. He won't sue the new Black Panther Party, but he'll sue Jan Brewer and the government of Arizona. Doesn't that bother you as an American, Jerry? Doesn't that show you where his allegiances are, Jerry?
Can I ask you something? Can you actually engage in a conversation with someone without having to mute them? Because this is just a lecture. This is a monologue. This is you trying to lecture me and you controlling the conversation.
I've been asking you to give me a rebuttal to any of my points and you can't. All you know how to do is literally cheerlead for Barack Obama. You know, Jerry, honestly, I've seen people like you in North Korea. I've seen people like you in the Soviet Union. I've seen people like you in the former Yugoslavia, where my ancestors come from. All you know how to do is parrot the line of the regime. Try thinking for yourself, Jerry. That's what it means to be a conservative. That's what it means to be an American. Let's go to Joe in Sacramento. Joe, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. I just like to comment on a conversation I heard the other day. It happened to be the day that Fiorina and Boxer are going to have their debate. And we were sitting in a jacuzzi at the health club. And it was interesting to hear the conversation going around about borders. We need to close our borders. Oh, no, we need to get Obama out of there. Oh, we need our jobs. How are we going to turn it around? And I was just sitting back listening to these guys. And then it came time for me to put in my two cents. I said, you know what we need to do? We need to just turn this. We need to say we're going to be proud to build an American again. We need to just build it here, fix it here. We don't need anybody else, and just close the borders and say we need to make it here, fix it here, and be proud to be American again. Give a Reagan speech, and next thing you know, we'll have the factories started up, the stock market will take off, and we'll have the problem solved. And everyone says, yeah, but that's never going to happen. And you know, ironically, that same night when Barbara Boxer gave her speech, all she did was talk about how Fiorina sent all her jobs overseas, and she took the Republican side, the side that Republicans are too afraid to stand up for, and that is build it in America. She goes, look at all the jobs you sent over to China. Look at all the jobs you sent over there. She took she at least she had some people looking out for, you know, good advisors telling her, look, this is what the Republicans should be saying, so we're going to say it before they can. I mean, this country, the Republicans, the Democrats, they're not looking out for the common man.
Bingo. Joe, you hit the nail right on the head. I don't fill in for many shows. This is why it's an honor and a privilege to fill in for Michael's show, because he's one of the few nationalist conservatives in the media today, one of the few truly independent conservatives. It is the Republicans and the Democrats, this duopoly in Washington, that have colluded together to sell us, to impose upon us a regime of open borders and free trade that has been destroying this country. It's been going on for the last 20 years. It began under Bush 41. It continued under Clinton. It continued under Bush. And now it's continuing under Obama. And you want to know why nobody gives a damn about the American worker? You want to know why nobody gives a damn about American manufacturing? I see it in Washington every day because of the power of foreign lobbyists. The Chinese want our markets open. The Japanese want our markets open. Mexico wants our market open. The Saudis want our market open. Everybody wants our market open. So they keep telling you, no, free trade's going to solve all our problems. We have to have free trade. We have to have open borders. No, we don't. This country was built upon tariffs. Alexander Hamilton, his entire economic system was built upon tariffs to build American manufacturing. It's so obvious. And as for the border, a nation is defined by its borders. It's like a home is defined by its property lines. If you cannot defend your home, if people can just walk in and out whenever they feel like it because they're hungry, because they're poor, they come into your fridge and start, Joe, they come into your fridge and start helping themselves to a ham sandwich and a beer. Hey, I'm sorry, I was poor. I just came in here and helped myself. That's not my problem. Go out there and fix your own place. Take care of your own family. Don't come in here and raid and plunder our loot. That's what they've been doing along the border for the last 20 years. The Republicans want cheap labor and the Democrats want votes. That's been the unholy collusion. That's been the unholy alliance. And rather than have a patriot, a nationalist, stand up and say, we are losing our country. Look at that fraud, Obama, today. $50 billion? So for more of his union cronies? To buy more votes? To create more phony construction jobs? So he can pretend like the illusion that he's helping us when he's not? And on top of it all, you, sir, are the president of the United States. You are the most powerful man in the world. And suddenly, if we criticize you, suddenly, because if we just peep opposition to you, you control the Senate, you control the House, you control the media. We criticize you and all of a sudden you're being talked about like a dog. Since when did you become a victim? Look at this racket that he's running. He has played on race. He has played the victim card his entire career in life. That's how he rose as community organizer. That's how he rose to the Illinois State Senate. That's how he rose to the U.S. Senate. And that's how he rose to the Oval Office. Even now, as he's milking us dry, as he's bleeding us white, traveling around on Air Force One, partying it up at Martha's Vineyard, partying it up in Hawaii, his wife goes off to Spain, he's still the victim. It's unbelievable with this guy. Because he's a socialist dictator. All he knows how to do is foment division and clashing between the ethnic groups and races. That's all he knows. Divide and conquer. So my question to you is a simple one. Why did the president of the United States refer to himself as a dog? Is he playing the race card? Is he trying to paint himself as a victim? What would make him say that? And do you think it's going to work? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. Let's quickly go to Linda in New York. Linda, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes. Hi, Jeff. Hi. I fully agree with you and Michael on mostly everything. Getting back to this speech today, you know, I don't even call him my president anymore. I don't. I just say Obama because he's not presidential at all. He sounded like he was on a street corner in Chicago giving a speech. Either he had a few drinks in him today or he's desperate. And I think really he was desperate.
Exactly. And no one's ever said no to him. This is the story of his entire life. He's been given everything on a silver platter, everything, including the presidency. And look how he trashes it. He apologizes to the Muslim world. He bows to the Saudi prince. He bows to the Japanese emperor. He bows to the leaders of Beijing. Just go to michaelsavage.com. Don't even take my word for it. It's the lead story. Now we have Larry Summers, the president's economic advisor. He's off to China. Larry Summers is. He's bowing to the Chinese. Larry Summers is now bowing to the Chinese. Hey, they own our debt. They pretty much have bought us up. I guess we should be bowing to them. But look how he defiles and degrades the office of the presidency. And now he refers to himself like a dog? This is the respect that you have for your own office? You're so desperate to cling to power, you don't even understand the inherent prestige, the inherent grace of your office is everything for you political, dear leader. Everything. Does that, do you, even that, even the office of the presidency you have to defile. This man is an usurper. This man is a socialist thug. And he is running this country into the ground. But come November, mark my words, members of the Savage Nation, he is going to get a political spanking that his mother should have given him a long, long time ago. We're going to teach this socialist, this is still America. This is still the land of the free. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. Let's go to Michelle in Indiana. Michelle, thanks for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
I just want to say you're absolutely right. Obama's going for the sympathy card. I'm not sure if it's purely racial thing or just sympathy in general. Going for the emotions, one of the things that got him elected. He's pathetic. And since when can we not criticize? He has been the most coddled human being I've ever witnessed. Unbelievable that now he's a pathetic, calling himself a dog. It's embarrassing.
Michelle, you took the words right out of my mouth. I want to thank you for that call. Look how brittle he is. I mean, you have the media in the tank. You have the Democratic Party in the tank. You have Hollywood in the tank. You have academia in the tank. Who's opposing him? A few Republicans on Capitol Hill, the Tea Party movement, and Michael Savage and talk radio. That's it. That's it. And that's making you treat like you're being treated like a dog? Hey, come on. Dear leader, if you can't oppose a couple of conservative activists, you don't belong to be in the presidency. You don't belong to be in the Oval Office. And that's the key. He was never ready for the job. He's in over his head. And the sense I get every time he delivers a speech is that he would rather be somewhere else. He can't be president because he lacks the experience. He lacks the judgment. He lacks the background. And that's what we were telling America throughout all of 2008. But now it's too late. Let's go to Kelly in Baltimore on line 7. Kelly, I got about a minute. Go.
Hey, Jeff, this narcissist in chief cannot figure out why we don't like him. So this is a backdoor justification by saying he's being treated like a dog, a backdoor justification for his reparations vacations with Michelle Antoinette and his well-nourished children, and he is cracking. And he just can't figure out why everybody isn't loving him and adoring him as the dear leader, as the narcissist in chief.
Kelly, thank you so much. I think that's what's happening. I look at him. I've been noticing it now for about the last 6 months. Even my wife said this to me. She said, Jeff, trust me, it's woman's intuition. He keeps taking so many vacations because he's buckling under the pressure. He's breaking under the pressure. How do you explain this weekend? He just came back from a 10-day vacation in Martha's Vineyard, and this weekend he was off to Camp David for another mini vacation, a vacation from the vacation. He can't handle it. He doesn't know how to restore economic recovery. He doesn't know how to secure the border. He doesn't know how to clean up the BP oil spill. He doesn't know how to defeat our enemies. He's in over his head. And now the Democrats are realizing, look at the man they elected. They are going to get walloped come November. And all those Democrats who walked the plank for him on Obamacare, all those Democrats who walked the plank on the stimulus package, what are you thinking now? Was it worth your careers? Was it worth your reputations? You have destroyed the greatest republic in the history of the world. You have destroyed your own party for this shyster in the Oval Office, for this con man in the Oval Office, this third-rate constitutional law professor. Obama is not just destroying America, he is destroying the Democratic Party, and that you will see come November. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for here on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael is off today. Michael, I just want to express to you once again, my buddy, my heartfelt thank you for the wonderful opportunity to fill in for you tonight. You have a wonderful show and a wonderful audience. And for all of you out there, members of the Savage Nation, go to michaelsavage.com. You will read some of the absolute, not just best stories out there, but stories that the mainstream media are just not covering or refuse to cover. And one of the big issues that the media refuses to cover is the radical agenda of the environmentalist movement in the United States and their deep ties both to global socialists like George Soros and to the Obama administration. And it is no accident that today on Labor Day, when the dear leader was off in Milwaukee to try to fire up the Union troops, to try to fire up the Democratic base, to stave off the incoming political tsunami that's going to hit this country in November with the midterm elections, what was one of his major themes? That he is the green president, that he is pushing a Green New Deal. And what is to me remarkable is that as this administration pushes for new renewable energy, solar power, hybrid cars, electric cars, wind farms, you name it, right across the board, they prefer to put their faith in future technologies that are not only ridiculously expensive, they're not proven. they're not proven to be effective or efficient. And the things that we need to focus on, the things that have been proven, oh, I don't know, drilling for oil and natural gas, supporting our car industry, our auto manufacturers, that he does nothing. That he refuses to touch. Only in his utopian mind, when he thinks about a socialist utopia, a green socialist future, oh, then he's willing to dispense billions of dollars in subsidies, including in this new second stimulus package he was touting today. But to actually support American workers, American jobs, American oil and gas development, no, 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 no. That the dear leader will not do. Reality, he will not support. Fantasy, he will. Here is the dear leader touting solar panels and electric cars and telling everybody, no, he doesn't want them built in China. No, 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 no. These fantasy technologies, he wants them built right here in the good old U.S. of A. Boys, roll clip 14.
I don't want to see solar panels and wind turbines and electric cars made in China.
No, sir.
I want them made right here in the United States of America.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I want to grow our exports so that we're selling to someplace else. Products that say made in the USA.
Yeah. Products that nobody wants. This is, to me, what I find mind-boggling. We have spent literally tens of billions of dollars, boondoggle after boondoggle, money down a rat hole for solar panels. Solar energy has been proven to be inefficient. It's been ineffective. You have wind farms, inefficient, ineffective. Electric cars, who wants to drive those death traps? I certainly wouldn't. I know liberals like to feel superior when they're driving around their little tiny Priuses. Let them feel superior. I like a good old-fashioned SUV. Call me crazy. I like a good old-fashioned SUV. I like it. It burns up gas. It's big. It's roomy. Can take care of me and my family. Believe me, nothing beats an American SUV. That, by the way, is what people want. That's not what GM and Ford and Chrysler are giving them because they're under pressure now from government motors. Now they're telling them to make all these hybrids, to make all these cars that nobody wants. But if Obama really gave a damn about the American worker, if he actually cared one iota about the workers in Michigan and Indiana and Ohio, here is what he would say. He would say to the unions, especially the auto unions, it is outrageous to be charging $28, $30 an hour for people with drill guns to be pumping in screws into a car. Your health benefits are out of control. Your retirement benefits are out of control. You have taken these great auto industries, Ford, GM, Chrysler, Titans, that were once admired by everybody around the world, and you have run them into the ground along with your corrupt, craven management. There is no way that a unionized auto sector charging $30 an hour to basically low-skill, uneducated labor can compete. That he will not say. He will not tell the EPA, stop imposing regulations on cars on gas per mileage that no car company can sustain. You're driving the cost through the roof. You're bankrupting the car industry. That he will not say. And here is the dirty little secret, members of the Savage Nation. Go to michaelsavage.com. Here is a story, I'll tell you right now, CNN won't cover it, MS Left BC won't cover it, the New York Times won't cover it, even Fox News won't cover it, because it's a little bit too edgy even for Fox News. Italian mafia makes millions by scamming, quote, green energy. It is a story in the London Telegraph. The Italian mob is making out like bandits on this scam of wind farms. The European Union, good socialists that they are. Hey, this is what Obama takes his playbook from. They have been pumping nearly $10 billion, encouraging European countries, especially Italy, to develop wind farms, wind power. And so the beautiful island of Sicily that gives us olive oil, where the Godfather, the Corleone family comes from, literally the town of Corleone is now surrounded by wind farms, by wind turbines. You have the peasants in Sicily saying, this used to be a picturesque island. We had beautiful olives. We had beautiful villages. We had beautiful scenery. And instead now it's littered with wind turbines everywhere you look. It's become ugly. You've defiled our beautiful landscape. And for what? To pay outrageous government subsidies to wind power that doesn't even work. Or if it works, it is so expensive, nobody really wants it. And who owns many of these wind farms, according to this story on MichaelSavage.com? They're fronts for the Italian mob. The mob has come in, and they are siphoning off all of these subsidies and grants. In fact, some of these wind farms don't even work. Other wind farms, I mean, this to me is hilarious. They have one wind farm owned by this prominent Italian Sicilian mob. It's run by diesel power. Literally, it's run by diesel power. They just put the wind turbines as a front, and they still make money. They pay for the diesel, and they still make money off the subsidies, claiming, no, it's wind energy. It's all being produced by the wind. It's all being produced by the wind. Just keep giving us the subsidies. They are siphoning off billions and billions and billions of dollars and lining their pockets with it. This is the reality of the green movement in Europe. It is one big scam, one massive boondoggle. And as the article points out, the mob goes wherever the money is. And so, many of them are in prostitution, the sex trade, drugs, and they just use these wind farms as fronts. They take in the subsidies, they use them as fronts to launder their other illegal, illicit activity. This is what socialism leads to. Corruption, thuggery, gangsterism. And this is exactly what's happening in Obama's America. In that stimulus package that he was touting, that $1 trillion waste, that $1 trillion money down a rat hole, this new $50 billion infrastructure project, who do you think benefits from this? All of the environmental lobbies that have been lining Obama's campaign pockets. All of them. The solar energy crowd, the wind power crowd, the renewable energy crowd. All of these people with their fake phony technology, all of them are benefiting. Al Gore, George Soros, all the people peddling cap and trade, and the big one, General Electric. This to me, you want to talk about a criminal corporation. Here you have General Electric. They're behind a lot of these wind farms. They're behind a lot of this solar power. They're the ones behind all of these sort of new green technologies. They're getting billions of dollars in tax credits and subsidies to promote technologies that don't work. And what does General Electric own? NBC and MS Lefbisi, the two biggest Obama mouthpieces in the media today. MS Lefbisi, even by leftist standards, I kid you not, I have liberal journalists in this city who work for the Washington Post and CNN who tell me, hey, I'm an Obama supporter, but these guys at MS Lefbisi, that's an embarrassment. I mean, that they even give us leftists a bad name. Commissar Keith Olbermann, softball in the head Chris Matthews, Rachel Maddow, the whole list. You have Chris Matthews coming out and openly saying Obama's perfect. Literally, forget the thrill up his leg. He's beyond the thrill up his leg. Now Obama's perfect. He doesn't understand how anybody could criticize him. That's how rabid they are. So the question I have is a very simple one. How is it that you have these media front companies for General Electric who are in bed with the Obama regime, who are in fact benefiting and enriching themselves from the Obama regime in billions of dollars of tax credits and subsidies? And nobody questions, are they influencing the editorial policy of MS Lefbisi and NBC? Are they getting, are they towing the Obama line because their parent company is making out like gangsters, like bandits? What you are seeing is what Michael Savage has rightly called the government media complex. The government is enriching members of the media and their parent companies. And in exchange, it is influence peddling. They get nothing but propaganda on their behalf. So I ask all of you members of the Savage Nation, who are the real criminals? Who are the real criminals? The Italian mafiosis who are skimming and skimming millions of billions of dollars and lining their pockets? Or the likes of General Electric, who not only line their pockets, but then put up front media companies, mouthpieces, that then stand there and lie on behalf of the Obama regime? 1-800-449-8255 is the number. 1-800-449-8255. The question before the House is, do you believe that new energy is the solution for America's energy crisis? Do you think electric cars, solar power, and wind power is the wave of the future? Or is it one massive government boondoggle? This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Let's go to David in Maine. David, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I also own a SUV and enjoy it very much, but I want to ask you about a statement earlier you made. You said Obama is a socialist dictator who controls the media. If that's so, most dictators I know wouldn't allow somebody like yourself and Michael Savage to broadcast on the air. Was he trying to be fair and balanced with you guys? Or just why does he allow you to broadcast?
Well, I mean, David, look, I think it's quite obvious. When you look at the people he surrounds himself with, when you look at the statements that he's made, he's a wannabe socialist dictator. I think there's no getting around. Now, he's restrained by the Constitution. He's restrained by checks and balances. He's restrained by separation of power, so he can't do, let's say, what Chavez is doing or what Castro is doing. But I find remarkable, look how he embraces Chavez. Look how he refuses to criticize Putin or Ahmadinejad or the leaders of North Korea or China. Notice the only people he demonizes and criticizes are the Tea Party activists. Then they're racists. Fox News is illegitimate, he says. The Democrats want to pass the Fairness Doctrine. They want to regulate the internet. When it comes to any kind of opposition, then he can't handle it. Then he's squirming. But when it comes to meeting with his fellow leftist dictators around the world, then he's among friends. And so what I find troubling about this man is he acknowledges no restraint on his power. Obamacare, unconstitutional. Wall Street reform, unconstitutional. The takeover of GM and Chrysler, unconstitutional. Everything this guy does is unconstitutional. He won't defend our borders. He won't vigorously prosecute the war on terror. This guy can't even have terrorists tried in a military commission. He won't go after the new Black Panthers when they're trying to prevent voters from voting at a voting booth. But to go after Jan Brewer, oh, he's the first one leading the pack. There he is, leading the pack. When it comes to defending the Ground Zero Mosque Imam, there he is. There he is. So my point is a very simple one. When it comes to defending American democracy, American interests, American capitalism, he's nowhere to be seen. But when it comes to defending socialism, he's the first one leading the charge. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Let's go to Glenn in Chicago. Glenn, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, it seems kind of odd that a lot of these more liberal policy European governments are actually starting to cut back on their spending now. It's like America's actually, like, leading the step towards, like, a new global, like, socialist or communist movement. I mean, it's really odd, but when you put the facts together and look at, like, who's pulling the strings and who Obama surrounded himself with, I mean, there's a lot of power-hungry fools that are, like, just putting a whole bunch of fabrications that we call green or environmentally safe.
Glenn, I couldn't agree with you more, and I want to thank you for that call, my friend. Look, you look at the evidence, and it is to me now irrefutable and overwhelming. Just a week ago, Howard Dean delivered a major speech in California. Now, remember, this is the former chairman of the Democratic National Committee, the leader of the anti-war liberal wing of the Democrats. He is talking to the Party of European Socialists, the big socialist labor party in the European Union. What does he say in that speech? He says that the Democrats and the European socialists are like brothers, that the market has failed, that capitalism has failed, and that what the Democrats are trying to do under Obama and under the leadership of the likes of Howard Dean and Hillary Clinton and John Kerry and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid is to create a, quote, global New Deal. And he's openly bragging in that speech that the Party of European Socialists, they call themselves PES, P-E-S, and the Democrats for years now are meeting at the think tank level, at the parliamentary congressional level, that they're emailing one another, that they're now actively in concert. They're now actively involved in an attempt to create a one world socialist economy. It's right there, straight from Howard Dean's mouth. Don't even take my word for it.
We Phil, don't need to... an exit strategy for the financial crisis. What we need is an entry strategy into the social crisis, the labor market. What we need is a long-term global vision tackling global imbalances. Free market globalization alone cannot achieve social justice. What the world needs is a global New Deal.
There you go. It's straight from the horse's mouth. Now, the one person to look at, I mentioned General Electric and Jeffrey Immelt, and there's no question about it. GE is a major puppet master of the puppet himself, the dear leader Barack Obama. But the key puppet master, the sugar daddy of the Democratic Party, the man that's essentially bankrolling this global socialist movement, is none other than George Soros. And just today, it's up on the Drudge Report. Don't even take my word for it. George Soros is now funding a massive assault upon the Tea Party movement. He now realizes that the greatest threat to his power, that the greatest threat to the socialist regime in Washington is coming from you, the American people. And so now they fear this political grassroots movement. What is it? All those old ladies waving the American flag? All those workers? All those veterans, all those students, black, white, Latino, right across the board, who what? Want to return their country back to its constitutional roots? Oh, radical things like low taxes, balanced budgets, securing our border. Ooh, I can see the fascists right now. All the black shirts there, all the racists. George Soros is now setting up a new website, backed by all of his groups, MoveOn.org, The Daily Kos, the American Center for Progress, that leftist think tank run by John Podesta, Bill Clinton's former chief of staff. All of them are now coming together to support this massive assault on the Tea Party movement. And here is the kicker. You want to see how devious and diabolical George Soros is? Now the plan is to infiltrate the Tea Party movement. Because if you remember, the big narrative ever since the Tea Party emerged on the scene last year was, oh, racist, closet Ku Klux Klanners, all of these Nazi-loving reactionaries, all of them, it's riddled in the Tea Party movement. Well, they couldn't find any evidence. They couldn't find any evidence of anti-Semitism. They couldn't find any evidence of being homophobic. They couldn't find any evidence of being white supremacists. So now,
The plan is to infiltrate the Tea Party movement and have leftists and anarchists pose as racists and members of the KKK to discredit the movement. That's how desperate George Soros is. He is the man that is pushing for cap and trade. He is the man who pushed for nationalized health care. You want to know why Obama blew up the Democratic Party? It was Soros. The moment Obama was elected, what did Soros say? Nationalize health care. What did he say? Pass a massive stimulus. Massive deficit spending. Tax increases, especially on corporations and the rich. Tax and spend. Tax and spend. Take over the banks. Take over the student loan industry. Take over the car sector. That was George Soros. He's the one that said, I want open borders. I want amnesty. When he says jump, Obama says how high. And so the international socialist movement, yes, Obama is the mouthpiece. Yes, Howard Dean is the mouthpiece. Yes, Al Gore is the mouthpiece. But the one that's really pulling the strings is George Soros himself. He's the one that's pushing for green energy. He's pushing cap and trade. He's pushing Obamacare. He's pushing abortion. He's pushing open borders. Why? Because in the end, that enhances his power. He makes money off cap and trade. He's the one who's now been playing the market, the international money markets, against the greenback. If America falls, George Soros profits. He sees himself as the Lenin of our time. And rather than outing this fraud, this shyster, this traitor, what do Republicans do? They run away from this man because they're afraid of his power. That is the real Lenin of our time. It's not Obama. He's the front man. The real power behind the throne is George Soros. Believe me, when Obama goes, it'll be Hillary. If it's not Hillary, it'll be John Kerry. They'll find somebody else to throw up there. But the man that is really pushing the international socialist agenda is none other than the sinister George Soros. Let's go to Paul in Florida. Paul, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I must say I agree with you on a lot of things, but to call solar and wind power a fantasy is ridiculous.
How is it ridiculous, Paul?
Well, I mean, you think Boone Pickens, U.S. Air Force, Germany, China, Middle East oil countries are all installing this like crazy. You think they're all doing fantasy things? I doubt it.
Well, Paul, let's take them all down. Boone Pickens is looking to make money. And so he realizes that we're not going to drill for oil domestically. We are continuing to be reliant upon Saudi foreign oil, especially from the Persian Gulf states. And so now there's a real hunger in Washington, especially under Obama, to subsidize solar and wind power. So he sees a golden opportunity to enrich himself. And so that's why Boone Pickens is pushing for this. Look, Paul, there's no getting around it. We have enough oil and natural gas and clean coal to fire the entire American economy. And George Soros knows it. Al Gore knows it. The radical environmentalist left knows it. And that's why Obama banned oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. That's why he won't allow us to drill in Anwar. That's why he won't allow us to drill in the Outer Continental Shelf. We have all the oil we need right here. Yet instead of drilling for it, what are we doing? Solar energy, that's decades down the line. Efficient. Yes, you can have solar energy. But to actually be efficient, practical, that's decades down the line. Wind power, that's decades down the line. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. This is what I find stunning. We absolutely don't have to reinvent the wheel. We have all the gas and energy that we need right here. Believe me, oil and natural gas are going to serve us very well for 50 to 100 years. We're not going anywhere. Trust me on this, Paul. The only people that want this are the green socialists, because that's going to make them money. Let's go to Monty in Texas. Monty, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
What was the next stimulus package that they're talking about? You know, the way I see that is that gives the Democrats an opportunity to vote the way they wish they had on the previous stimulus packages right before the election.
Oh, no, you're right. I mean, Monty, you hit the nail right on the head. Look, the first stimulus package, everybody in Washington knows this. It was a massive giveaway. It was a massive boondoggle
to all of the major Democratic constituents. The labor unions won out. The environmentalists won out. Hispanics won out. African Americans won out. Many illegal immigrants won out. That's what this was all about. Most of it went for Medicare and Medicaid. Most of it went for unemployment insurance. It was a form of welfare. That's what the first stimulus was about. That's why everybody's saying, Jeff, how come the economy hasn't been restored? Because it wasn't intended to restore the economy. It was intended to buy off votes, and that's what it did. And now he's offering another $50 billion package. The first one didn't work. $1 trillion didn't work. Believe me, $50 billion is not going to work. And he knows that. But what he wants is he wants to buy votes. And if you notice, with the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the stimulus bill, everywhere I look, I see that silly orange sign. Everywhere I go, paid for by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Paid for by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. So people think, oh my God, it's like the New Deal. Public works projects everywhere. Roads, bridges, railways. Oh my God, Obama's rebuilding our infrastructure. Oh, it's like the New Deal all over again. It's one massive giveaway to every major Democratic interest group. That's all it is. He's rewarding his friends. It's the Chicago way. It's the Chicago way come to Washington. You pay to play. You give him and the party money, and they reward you with special favors and subsidies. They're playing with our money. And my question, Monty, to you and to everybody out there is this. When this party is over, and it will come to an end come November, the American people have seen through this man. They know what a shyster he is. He's like those Italian mafiosis that I mentioned earlier in Sicily. Really, that's all he is. He's got a nicer suit. He has a bit more of a clean-cut presentation. He's a bit more articulate. He is, after all, an academic Marxist. They taught him a little bit at Columbia University. You know, he learned something at the Harvard Law Review. He learned a little bit. He's a bit more polished. But in the end, he's enriching himself and his fellow gangsters, all of his fellow cronies. And come November, when they send him and his regime packing, what they have now come to realize is that this man in power is swindling them. He is lying at every turn. The economy is going down, not up. Our border is getting worse, not better. The war in Iraq and Afghanistan is not getting better. It's getting worse. Just today, there's another story. Just go to the Drudge Report. Remember, combat operations were supposed to be over in Iraq? Here he is, coming out. Big primetime speech last week. The war in Iraq is over. All the combat divisions have left. It's over. It's over. There are 50,000 troops left. Today, American boys, our boys, our girls are in the streets of downtown Baghdad fighting these Islamist butchers. What is this guy talking about? They're getting shot at right now as we speak. That war isn't over. And now we've left 50,000 U.S. troops behind with no mission, no strategy for victory. They're sitting ducks. They're sitting ducks for these terrorist insurgents. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's like one of these mafiosi, Italian, Sicilian mafiosi guys. All he knows how to do is line his pockets and that of his friends. And the American people now, we've seen through him. That act is over. And so here's my prediction. You heard it here first on the Savage Nation. When the Republicans come back into power, I've written about this in my column at the Washington Times. The Republicans will begin investigation after investigation after investigation. And you know what they're going to find in that stimulus? You know what they're going to find in this stimulus? Massive fraud. Massive corruption. Massive misuse of taxpayer dollars. The list is just beginning of all the crimes and misdemeanors, high crimes and misdemeanors that this regime has committed. And mark my words, Obama will be impeached. This man will be impeached. And this time, unlike Bill Clinton, remember, you heard it here, Jeff Kooner, whatever, it's Washington, D.C. on the Savage Nation. This time, unlike Clinton, the dear leader will not escape. We are going to impeach him and we're going to bring him down because this man poses a clear and present danger to the security of the United States. This is Jeff Kooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Let's go to Tim in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Tim, thanks for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, I had a comment on this whole green energy movement. You know, it's common knowledge that when you subsidize something, you get more of it. So the fact that all these, you know, like our caller had pointed out, there's all these different groups and, you know, military groups or private groups, you know, sinking all this money into, so you know, solar and wind. But the fact of the matter is that this comes with government massive government subsidies. And, you know, say I wanted to incorporate solar power into a business and it would cost me $10,000. Well, if the government's going to subsidize $8,000 of that in my bottom line, I'm going to be paying $2,000. Why would I not do that?
Exactly. No, and Tim, this is, and I want to thank you for that call. This is what I don't understand, Tim. You have somebody like Al Gore. He's made over $100 million through that hedge fund that he runs on this scam of man-made global warming. All of these carbon credits, pushing all this cap and trade, pushing all this wind and solar power, he's made out like a bandit. Nobody cares. George Soros, he's made out like a bandit. Nobody cares. General Electric, they've made out like a bandit. Nobody cares. GE has made billions of dollars off of this scam. And on top of it, they're running MS Left BC and NBC. Now, doesn't anybody ask? Well, hold on. What the Obama administration is giving with the left hand to GE, GE with the right hand is empowering MS Left BC and NBC to basically be a mouthpiece for the Obama regime. It's the government media complex, like Dr. Savage says. Now, doesn't anybody say, well, hold on, don't we live in a free society? I mean, shouldn't we have an independent media? Why is the owner of MSNBC and NBC allowed to make billions of dollars off of this global warming scam with the Obama regime? And nobody even hold them to account. Shouldn't somebody at least ask people at MSNBC and NBC, well, isn't there a conflict of interest? Your parent company, their profits depend upon Obama and his subsidies. Doesn't that bother anybody? Am I the only one in America that wants a free press? Am I the only one in America that's actually saying you have illicit corporate influence in government? You have corporations and government in bed bilking the American people? And notice, the one renewable energy nobody talks about. Forget solar. Forget wind. Forget all of that. Forget these hybrid cars, these electric cars. It's nuclear technology. Nuclear power. France, 70% of its economy runs on nuclear power. It's cheap, it's clean, it's safe, and it's almost unlimited. What's the problem? Oh, the green left doesn't like it. The wacko environmentalists don't like it. That's why Obama's not peddling it. There's no big money to be made. My friends, always follow the money, and the money leads back to Soros, Gore, and all the other eco-socialists that are destroying America. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. Michael, I just want to thank you once again, my good friend, for the incredible honor and opportunity to be guest hosting for you tonight. Wherever you are, Michael, I hope you're enjoying this beautiful Labor Day. To all of you members of the Savage Nation, go to michaelsavage.com. There are some absolute must-read stories that will knock your socks off. And I have to tell you, looking at the news today, what I find incredibly disheartening and demoralizing is even when it comes to revamping the Oval Office, you would think putting in some new carpeting, putting in a new rug, putting in some new furniture, the Oval Office makeover, you think that at least that the dear leader could do. I mean, how hard is it? Just get a fashion designer to come in there and tell, look, make it look good. Make it happen. No, even that the dear leader has to mess up. I kid you not. Even that Obama has to mess up. Apparently, Obama's new presidential rug initially seemed beyond reproach. You have around the rug, you have quotations from Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, and of course the Reverend Martin Luther King. They're woven all along the edges of the curved edge of the rug. And here is the quote that they attribute to Martin Luther King Jr. Quote, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice." Now, here's the key point. Yes, Martin Luther King used that phrase. He used it often. But that quote didn't originate with him. That quote goes all the way back to the 19th century. It was first uttered and popularized by Theodore Parker, a Unitarian minister who fought against slavery. He was an abolitionist. Now, Martin Luther King didn't plagiarize it. He openly said, no, it's not my quote. It's Theodore Parker's quote. It's this Unitarian minister in antebellum New England who vociferously opposed slavery. He wanted to abolish slavery and, in fact, helped with the Underground Railroad to free slaves. He harbored fugitive slaves. But instead of attributing it to Theodore Parker, the original source of the quote, they attribute it to Martin Luther King. They got the bloody quote wrong, or at least the source of the quote wrong. They couldn't even do that properly. And then when you got to see pictures of this thing. I mean, I don't know who was their designer, but whoever it was, it had to be a government bureaucrat. It had to be some incompetent government bureaucrat. Whoever it was, fire him right away. It's in beige. It's made out of corduroy. It looks cheap. It looks like something in a motel. Not even a five-star hotel. I kid you not. It's something out of a Motel 6. You would think it's a Motel 6. I'm looking at pictures of the Oval Office. It looks like a Motel 6. This is what I'm looking at right now. This man continues to cheapen and degrade the Oval Office. And it's no longer political or moral. It is now physical. He is literally degrading the Oval Office. He can't even redesign the Oval Office without cheapening it, without devaluing it, without degrading it. That's how pathetic his presidency has become. Now, many of you may say, well, come on now, Jeff, aren't you beating up on the poor guy? I mean, what, are you going to criticize him now for a rug? That's our house. That Oval Office doesn't belong to Obama. He may think it does. The Democrats may think they do. Rahm Emanuel may like to walk around nude in the Oval Office. I understand that Emanuel likes to be nude, and he may feel more comfortable with corduroy. He may feel more comfortable with those couches, those beige couches. He may like that comfy rug feeling. He can roll around on it. But that's not Rahm Emanuel's house. That is our house. That is our building. That is the people's house. We own it. That is the cradle of our democracy. And it should be treated with utter respect and dignity. It should have, frankly, the finest designers working on it. It should not be something that looks from some cheap, tawdry motel, but it should be an example, a source of inspiration for people of this country and for people all over the world. And the one thing you don't do is you don't get quotes falsely attributed to other people. Everything this man does
he ends up making a mess of. Now, I stand back and look at this. I see him trying to falsely attribute a quote to Martin Luther King that belongs to Theodore Parker. What else has this man done with his little home decoration, his little renovation? His very first act as president of the United States, and this tells you everything you need to know about him, was he sent back the bust of Winston Churchill to Britain. Tony Blair had given it as a gift to George Bush. The very first thing the dear leader did, his first official act, was to sign an executive order to end Guantanamo Bay. That was his first executive order. That also should tell you everything you needed to know about him. He was no longer going to fight the war on terror. He was now telling the Muslim world, no mas, no more. We now want appeasement. The war hawk is out. The peacenik is in. But his actual first act, the first thing he ordered, was for Winston Churchill's bust to be sent back to England, to be sent back to 10 Downing Street. Now, I ask all of you, look at how pregnant the symbolism of that is. Look how it tells you everything you need to know about Obama and about his radical, secular, leftist agenda. Winston Churchill was arguably the greatest conservative of the 20th century. When all seemed lost, when in 1939, Hitler declared war upon Poland, and to the utter astonishment of the Western world, he crushed the vaunted Polish army in a matter of weeks. He had now unleashed his Wehrmacht, his German army, with his new strategy of the Blitzkrieg. And now Germany was the dominant power in Europe. Germany was on the march. And Hitler told his adoring millions of fans and supporters, not just in Germany, but all across Europe, fascism and totalitarianism is the wave of the future. As he said, I am the future. Democracy is the past. And he then conquered the Czech Republic. He conquered Poland. And then in the spring of 1940, he turned his guns upon the French. This was the France of Napoleon. This was the France of Louis XIV. This was the France, people forget, that led Western Christendom in the Crusades. This was the glorious French Empire that, along with the English and America, defeated Germany in World War I. Roosevelt, Churchill, everybody said, here in France, Hitler's army will be stopped. And to the utter astonishment of the world, Hitler crushed the French within 4 weeks. He absorbed Belgium. He invaded Holland. He invaded Denmark. And now France itself fell. All of Europe lay at his feet. He now had a European empire. And now the only question that Churchill faced, according to all of his supporters, was, should we surrender? His own foreign minister, Lord Halifax, said, Winston, our empire is at stake. We will lose India. We will lose everything. We must sue for peace. And so Churchill, in the spring of 1940, with France occupied, with Europe occupied, with Hitler now at the peak of his power, what did Churchill do? The public in Britain wanted peace. His party wanted peace. The liberals all over the world said, peace, sign a deal. And instead, Churchill got up and he said, we shall fight them on the beaches. We shall fight them in the streets. We shall fight them in the forests. We shall fight them in the air. We shall fight them in the sea. We shall never surrender. And with that speech, as he told the English people, when 1,000 years from now, people look back upon the British Empire, when they look back upon British civilization, they will say, this was Britain's finest hour. I will not surrender. And he willed a country. He willed a civilization. to go and go into the inner recesses of everything that we had to stand up and defeat the Nazi juggernaut. This man, this savior of the West, this savior of democracy, this is the bust that you send back, Mr. President. This is the man who you disrespect. You wouldn't be in the Oval Office today if it wasn't for that man. You would be going Sieg Heil. In fact, frankly, Mr. President, the way you have no idea what he... This tells you everything you need to know. When he sent that bust back, he was telling the world, America is no longer a Churchillian country. It is a country that now goes in the path, the discredited, craven path of Neville Chamberlain. Appeasement is in. War is out. And now, all over the world, radical Islamists know they have America on the run. Go to michaelsavage.com. Don't take my word for it. Go to michaelsavage.com. You now have radical Muslims in Indonesia, in Kabul, in the very country that we have toppled the Taliban and liberated. Hundreds of radical Muslim extremists are now protesting this push by a Florida pastor to burn the Quran. They are now protesting in front of our embassies in Indonesia, in Afghanistan, all over the world. And what does Obama do? What does the State Department do? Notice, when it comes to the Ground Zero Mosque, notice how quickly Obama was to say, oh, they have a right to build it. They must build it in Lower Manhattan. They have a constitutional right. It's religious freedom. No, it's insensitive to the Muslim world not to have a mosque built at Ground Zero, a monument to the conquest of radical Islam. That they must have. But when a pastor in Florida wants to burn several Qurans to protest the terrorism that has been committed in the name of radical Islam, burn the Quran, the State Department, led by Obama, have released a statement saying, we condemn it. We oppose it. We don't want it. This is insensitive and we apologize for it. Oh, when it comes to criticizing that pastor, that's how quickly they come out. My friends, he is now bending over backwards to appease the Muslim world. That's what everything behind that bust meant. And that's been the essential meaning of his presidency. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. What do you make of the fact that the Obama administration, the dear leader, has botched even the renovation of the Oval Office and even gotten quotes wrong on the rug? Do you think it's symbolic? Do you think it means anything? I want to hear from you. The dear leader was today in Milwaukee, and I got to tell you, he seems completely unfazed by the polls. As far as he's concerned, things couldn't be better. Boys, roll clip one.
Hello, Milwaukee. Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
It is good to be back in Milwaukee.
Yep.
It is good to be I'm almost home.
Yep.
I just hop on the 94 and I'm home.
Yep. Yep.
Take it all the way to the South Side.
Yep.
Happy Labor Day, everybody.
Yep. There's the community organizer in chief saying, hey, he's just one drive away from going to the South Side of Chicago. He's jubilant. He's happy. He's firing up the troops. Is he putting on an act? Or is this man living in some kind of a parallel universe? Does this man really not see what's coming, or is he just putting on this phony act
to try to convince people that he knows what he's doing. 1-800-449-8255. You know, I got to tell you, my friends, to me, I look at this presidency and here's what I see. I see a healthcare sector, he's destroyed. I see a budget, he's destroyed. I see borders, he's destroyed. I seen wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, he's destroyed. Now I see an Oval Office, he's destroyed. This guy can't even renovate an office, he's that incompetent. What, they didn't teach you that as a community organizer, dear leader? They didn't teach you how to renovate an office? My friends, the biggest problem affecting Barack Obama and this country is this. It is one of competence. He is utterly incompetent. He is in over his head. And he thought he could run a country the way you run a community organization. But he's now realizing that the White House is not a place for on-the-job training. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Before we go to our busy phone lines, go to michaelsavage.com. There is a story that I think all of you should be interested in. It's up there on michaelsavage.com. You now have massive crowds, Islamist protesters in Afghanistan, in Indonesia, who are now railing against the United States. And to me, what I find remarkable is this is in downtown Kabul, the country that we have liberated in Afghanistan. Over 1,000 Americans have died. We have over 100,000 troops right there fighting to keep that country free from the Islamist butchers that devoured it in the 1990s. And here you have 500 people chanting "Long live Islam and death to America." You have these fiery imams coming out calling for terrorist actions to be taken against the U.S. military. And why? Why are all these Muslim fundamentalists up in arms? Because the Gainesville, Florida, Dove World Outreach Center, they're based in Gainesville, Florida, said they announced a plan. They have announced plans to burn copies of the Quran on church grounds to mark the 9th anniversary of the September 11 terrorist attacks. Now, you would think if they can build, if Islamists can build a ground zero mosque, you know, what, a stone's throw away from where 3,000 Americans were slaughtered, that apparently is not offensive, according to the dear leader. That's not offensive, according to the State Department. In fact, the imam of the Ground Zero Mosque, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, is now on a state-sponsored, a taxpayer-funded trip all across the Middle East, raising money for that Ground Zero Mosque. But no, this burning of the Quran, very insensitive. Very insensitive. Not only to the Muslim extremists. No. To the State Department. Here is what the State Department said. This is the U.S. Embassy in Kabul. This is the statement they had to issue condemning Dove World Outreach Center's plans. They said, quote, "Washington was deeply concerned about deliberate attempts to offend members of religious or ethnic groups." Really? Tell me, were you not also concerned about the deliberate attempts to offend Americans and the families of the 9/11 victims when the Ground Zero Mosque is being proposed to be built? Tell me, dear leader, how come you didn't issue a statement then? But when some pastor wants to burn a couple copies from the State Department, oh, no, it's beyond the pale. It's beyond the pale. And the point that I have for a lot of people is a very simple one. Instead of burning the Quran, why don't you read the Quran? And by reading the Quran, you can actually see a lot of the violent quotes, a lot of the violent phrases, a lot of the jihadist justifications that many of these radical Islamist terrorists use to bomb and kill innocent women and children. You'll actually educate yourself on the real dangers of radical Islam if you read the Quran instead of burning the Quran. But that's just me. Let's go to our busy phone lines. 1-800-449-8255. Terry in Wisconsin. Terry, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you, Mr. Cooner. The Oval Office doesn't need renovation. It needs restoration.
Oh, Terry, well said. You're completely right. It needs to be restored. I think our republic needs to be restored. I think the White House needs to be restored. And to me, what I find stunning, Terry, and this is what breaks my heart as an American. I know it's Labor Day. Everybody's been out enjoying the sunshine. They put a couple of steaks on the barbecue, a couple of hot dogs. We shouldn't be talking about this now, but I'm not going to wince. I'm going to speak truth to power. What I find stunning is here you have a wannabe socialist dictator who has taken the office of the presidency, the most precious thing we have, the very symbol and cradle of our democracy. What our forefathers fought for, that we have an elected president who represents the will of the people. And he has taken that office and he has thrown it into the mud, into the gutter. He goes around the world and he bows to the Saudi king. He bows to the Japanese emperor. He bows to the Chinese. Everywhere he goes, he bows. To the Muslim world in Cairo last year, he apologizes for us when we have lost thousands of men and women to liberate Iraq and Afghanistan from Islamic fascism. Yet we apologize to the Muslim world. And now he can't even decorate the Oval Office. He can't even get a bloody quote right, the attribution of a quote saying it's Martin Luther King when it was Theodore Parker. He can't even put some decent covering on the couches. He's got to go with corduroys. I mean, you can't spend. This is what I find amazing. He's got money for Air Force One. He's got money for his wife to go to Spain. They have money for Martha's Vineyard. Nothing but the best for the dear leader and his wife. By the way, not to get personal, but she's the one. Michelle Obama, the anti-obesity kick. Oh, from her vegetable garden. We're too obese as a nation. We have to get off sugar. We have to stop. Hey, we can't eat so much. Have you looked at your kids lately? I don't want to be too critical here, but since you're lecturing us, have you seen the kids from Martha's Vineyard? Ay, ay, ay. Ay, ay, ay. Hey, you got to put them on a diet. You're going to lecture us about overweight and obesity. Look at your own kids. They're partying it up. That there's money for. Trips, vacations, Martha's Vineyard, Haagen-Dazs ice cream, you name it, bushwhackers, that lobster, shrimp, champagne. He's got plenty of money for that. But when it comes to the Oval Office, it's like Motel 6. Because that's what he thinks of the presidency. That's what he thinks of this country. Deep down, have you ever seen a leader disrespect his nation, disrespect his military, disrespect the office of the presidency more than Barack Obama? I ask. I'm being serious. Have you seen anybody? Maybe Bill Clinton. Maybe. What else do you call having sex in the Oval Office? Oral sex with a 21-year-old intern. Maybe Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton gives Obama a run for his money. I'll grant you that. But outside of these two hucksters, can you name me anybody? Let's go to Lori in Sacramento. Lori, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Would you please read to me again the names of the people that are quoted on that rug in the Oval Office?
Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, and they say Martin Luther King, but the quote actually came from Theodore Parker.
So everyone but Martin Luther King are former presidents, correct?
Correct.
So why do we have Martin Luther King on there when he's not a president?
That's a very good question, Lori. I think he would answer. He would say, well, he was the leader of the civil rights movement. He is somebody who helped end segregation and Jim Crow. And Obama has said he's a personal hero of his. Now, that's fine. If they want to have Martin Luther King in his rug, that to me is fine. But at the very least, why don't you get a quote? I don't know. I have a dream. That would be a nice quote. Remember that I have a dream quote? That would be nice. At least you have the right person that you're quoting. They can't even attribute the quote to the right person. That's how incompetent they are. Now, Laurie, let me ask you this, because I don't know if I'm reading too much into this. I mean, is corduroy, is that to you, do you think that's representative of the dignity of the Oval Office? Some cheap rug? You think that's representative of the dignity of the Oval Office? Couldn't they have found some better material?
Exactly. But if they want that rug made, he could have had his own personal place, you know, where the family resides. Doesn't have to be in the Oval Office.
Laurie, that's exactly my point. But see, that's the thing about him. He thinks, see, Laurie, this is what people don't understand. People think, oh, Jeff, it's just Obama bashing. It isn't. It gives away his mentality. He thinks he's bigger than the presidency. That's been the entire narrative. You want to understand? You want Obama in one sentence? He thinks he's bigger than the presidency. He is the narcissist in chief. Obamacare? Doesn't matter. It divides and breaks the country apart. No problem. The stimulus package breaks the country apart. No problem. Suing Arizona breaks the country apart. No problem. Not going after the new Black Panthers, splitting the country apart. No problem. He has divided us more than any president we've ever had. Racially, politically, ideologically. No one has bankrupted this country at the speed that this man has. No problem. He's bigger than the country. It's all about him. Even Clinton, if you noticed, after 1994, even Clinton said, well, hold on, the era of big government is over. I mean, come on, the American people have spoken. Even he wasn't the kind of fanatic that Barack Hussein Obama is. My friends, that's all you need to know about him. He thinks he is the center of the universe. He's like an adolescent. He's like a child. Think of your teenager. That's what he is. The world revolves around him. But come November, he's going to have... Look, you heard it here first on the Savage Nation. I don't think his ego can handle being defeated in November. What you're seeing now, that speech today in Milwaukee, comparing himself to being talked like a dog, treated like a dog, that they talked about him like a dog, this is him starting to crack. It's starting to register. You know what? I may lose my majority in the House. I may lose my majority in the Senate. It's like King Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette. You mean the peasants don't love me? You mean the peasants don't worship me? You mean the peasants don't think I'm the Sun King? I can do no wrong? I don't know what to do. It's like Ceausescu, the Romanian dictator, Nicolae Ceausescu. Look it up on YouTube. In 1989, the Berlin Wall collapsed. All of the Eastern European communist regimes are falling like dominoes. Ceausescu is holding against the wind, his hand against the wind. He delivers a speech in downtown Bucharest, the dictator of Romania. And in his palace, in his presidential palace, he says, we will not back off an inch from the socialist revolution. The crowd beneath him, expecting him to say, I'm going to hand over power, they start yelling and screaming. And he's stunned. He's stunned. He's bewildered. I can't understand this. You mean my people have turned against me? They don't love me? Even though I've plundered the country? I've milked it white? No, how can this be? And you can see he's stunned. He's bewildered. He's confused. And he retreats into his presidential palace and then flees. This is what's going to happen. But when they lose the House, and if they lose... What? The Sun King doesn't walk on water? The Sun King bleeds? My people don't love me? You mean I've made a mess? The people have turned against me? He'll crack. You can already see the symptoms of him cracking. He looks like he doesn't want to be there. Look how flat his speeches are. Look how lifeless his speeches are. He's falling apart. It's vacation after vacation after vacation. I don't think he will be able to serve out his term. I really don't. And even if he has the will to serve out his term, the Republicans, I'm telling all of you, they are developing a file. The corruption, the abuse of power, the scandals, the Democrats have given them free pass after free pass. When the Republicans come into power, you will see impeachment proceedings. It leads to nowhere else. This kind of criminality, this kind of scandal, this kind of abuse of power, the Republicans will have no choice but to unleash investigation after investigation. Obama's socialist agenda will fall dead in its tracks come November. Mark my words. Let's quickly go to Bill in York, Pennsylvania. Bill, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you for your show. I'm telling you, November cannot come sooner, and just stay on fire. You're firing me up, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, God bless you, Bill. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times, 1-800-449-8255. We'll take your calls right after this break, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times, KUH, N as in Nancy, ER, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Brian in Michigan on line 8. Brian, thanks for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks. It's great to be on. As much as I'm looking forward to November, how are we to know that there are also members in the Republican who are also being controlled by George Soros?
Brian, look, I mean, you asked the $64,000 question, and it's not just George Soros. In other words, will Lindsey Graham, will John McCain, will John Boehner, will all of these phony establishment Republicans co-opt the Tea Party movement and bring us back to the years of Jack Abramoff? That's the $64,000 question. Brian, let me be very frank with you. I have warned Republicans repeatedly. I said, listen, ignore me. Don't ignore me. It's up to you. This is your last chance. You don't realize the level of frustration, anger, and alienation in the heartland. And the American people have had it. We are seeing our country being squandered. We are tired of unlimited immigration. We are tired of record deficits. We are tired of seeing our troops being bled to death in the sands of Mesopotamia and the mountains of Afghanistan. We want victory. We want our republic back. And so if they think this is just politics as usual, where they're going to bash Obama and promise to repeal Obamacare and everything is going to be fine and dandy, they have another thing coming to them. And I've warned them repeatedly. If I would have said to you in 1840 that the Whig Party would go into the dustbin of history within 10 years, you would, Brian, you would say I'm crazy. If you and I went back, whatever, 160 years ago, 70 years ago, you say, Jeff, you belong in a mental asylum. And the Whig Party literally went into the ash heap of history, and that's where the Republicans were formed. The Republicans are staring at the same thing. We do not support the Republican Party, at least I don't, and I know certainly Dr. Savage doesn't, because they have an R beside them. The only good thing the Republicans are for is if they're a conservative party, if they're a nationalist party. If they're not, then you're going to see a third party form, and you are going to see a real conservative insurgency. And my prediction is this. I think you're going to see the Republicans come back. They're going to win at least the House, maybe the Senate. It is going to stop Obama dead in his tracks. You are going to see investigation after investigation. The Obama presidency will go down in flames. And then in 2012, the Republicans are going to nominate a safe Republican, Mitt Romney. And you're going to see the Republicans revert to their old spending corrupt ways. And by 2016 or 2020, you will see a new third party emerge. I may be wrong. In some ways, I hope I'm wrong. I don't think so. I think this country has had it with the two-party system. They see that the game is up. They see that the game is rigged. And so the Tea Partiers, I'm telling everybody, this time, their words are meaningless. It is actions that matter. We want Obamacare repealed. We want the tax cuts extended. We want the budget balanced, and we want the border secured. That's our minimum. There's no going beyond this. If you can't do that, you're no good to us. Let us quickly go to John in Texas. John, I got about 30 seconds. Go, baby.
Okay. I want to make a comment before I get
my original question was about the impeachment, but I don't think that Hitler would have done anything to Obama because I think he was raised a Muslim. And the second thing is in Afghanistan, why they tear gassed a girls' school that were trying to learn to read and write, and the Muslims did that. So I don't know why they're down riding over the Koran on that.
John, thank you so much for that call, buddy. I hate to tell you this, but Obama would not have survived in Hitler's Third Reich, believe me. And I have to tell you this, for him to send the bust of Churchill back to Tony Blair says everything we need to know about him and his administration. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. May God bless you. May God bless America.
Savage.